Okay. Today is the 27th of May, 2018, Sunday. So we can get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and now mindfully we shall commence the puja chanta. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Guanxing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svākhātō bhagavatā dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinā dānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mūsāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamā dathānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhaṃ pujē. Dhammaṃ pujē. Sanghaṃ pujē. Okay, you all can be seated. then maintain some more attention. We will now commence the sixth Patriarch Sutra. Today is lesson 75. Very good. I think we should be ending soon. We are at page 382. The Sutta say, external insentient things have five pairs of opposites. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we should turn to page 1 to recite the opening verse. Okay, thank you. Verse for opening a Sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page 382. Okay, the Sutta part. External insentient things have five pairs of opposites. So this one is very typical of Mandarin culture. So they always talk about Tian Di, heaven and earth. Heaven is, they call it Tian. That's why the heavenly realm are called Tian Fa Jie. Then the earthly rhyme, like earth star, earthbound devas, they are within our planet Earth. So they call it heaven and earth. Then they always also treat the sun and the moon as a pair. Then light and darkness. Then the yin and the yang, and water and fire. So these are the five pairs of opposites. In speaking of the marks of Dhamma, one should delineate 12 opposites. Speech and Dhamma, existent and non-existent, form and formlessness, the mark and the unmarked, the presence of outflow and the lack of outflow, form and emptiness, motion and stillness, clarity and turbidity, the common and the holy, members of the Sangha and members in the laity. Members of the Sangha and members of the laity. Then old age and youth, and largeness and smallness. So this is the way they actually categorize them, the mark of Dhammas. From the self nature, 19 pairs of opposites arise, length and shortness, deviance and orthodoxy, foolishness and wisdom, stupidity and intelligence, confusion and concentration, kindness and cruelty, morality and immorality, straightness and crookedness, reality and unreality, danger and safety, affliction and bogey, permanence and impermanence, compassion and harm, joy and anger, generosity and stinginess, advance and retreat, production and extinction, the Dhamma body and the form body, the transformation body and the reward body. The master said, you can understand and use this 36 pair of opposites. You can connect yourself with the Dhamma of all the sutta and avoid extreme, whether coming or going. When you act from your self nature, in speaking with others, you are separate from external mind. While in the midst of them, and separate from inward emptiness, while in the midst of emptiness. If you are attached to marks, you will add to your wrong view, and if you grasp at emptiness, you will increase your ignorance. So this is the sutta part, the classification as held by them. So we now go on to the commentaries by Xuan Hua. Opposite means mutually dependent and mutually opposed. 19 opposites arise as a function of the true suchness, self-nature. For example, if there was no long, there would be no short. Long is the opposite of short, and short is the opposite of long. Long and short are relative terms, and between them is the middle way. Kindness bestows happiness and is the opposite of cruelty. Morality and immorality are opposite. Morality is the practice of all good action and the absence of all evil. Compassion pulls living beings out of suffering, and the opposite is harmfulness. Generosity means giving. If you can give, you are not stingy. The Dhamma body pervades all places and is the opposite of the form body. So this is just a short summary by Xuan Hua. The actual sutta is much more detailed. But as far as the Dhamma is concerned, this is just an expression based on the Mandarin language and also the Chinese culture at that time. These are the things that is commonly used. Like you say, from the self nature, you can come up with 19 pairs of opposites. But as we all know, these are dualities. So duality is limitless. It's not limited to 19 pair or how many pair. Then, like the five, the first five pairs of opposite for external insensate thing, they always talk about. The first one is always Tian Di. Even in the game of the Pai Gao, they also have Tian Di. These are the two biggest cards. Then I don't know. There is this word, the Mandarin word. Do you all heard of this word? No? I read somewhere. I don't know whether it's true or not. Is there such a word? Kuna. This is my last name, no. So they say heaven is Tian, isn't it? Correct? Wrong. Is this a yes? How to write Tian? Oh, go inside. Oh, okay. Then go inside. Oh, okay. Then T is what? Like that? Correct? They say this floor is the highest on earth. You go and check this one. Because this one I think came from the Tong Su. So on earth, this one is the highest. I think somebody read it to me. Then I asked him, what is this word? Then he said, this is Kun. I said, my name also Kun. He said, this one, like you all say, Qian Kun. What is the meaning of Qian Kun? They always use these two words. But as far as I know, this word Kun, they say, is the highest on earth. Means on earth, he is the one. So, Tian Di, that's why since young, when I heard this word, it's like inside my nature, I understand that word very deeply. There is a heaven, there is an earth. Then, of course, the sun and the moon, light and darkness, then yin and yang. Yin and yang is the Tao. You know the Tao, the teaching of Lao Tzu. So yin yang is infinite, not limited to how many numbers. So what I want you to understand is from the self nature, like the Fipitriya Tohuining, all dhammas arise from the self nature. So it's not limited to 19 pair. Xuan Hua didn't explain all this because he just summarized it. So what you need to understand is, as far as my nature is concerned, you don't have to worry so much about their description of the opposite. You only need to know duality. This English word is very good, duality. Duality. Is there an equivalent Mandarin word? You all only use the word Fen Bie Xing. Or Xiang Hui. Oh, how to write? You come and write. Duality is a very good word. Bracket. Put there. Bracket. Xiang Hui. Oh, Xiang Tui Ba. Okay. Very good. This word. So you remember this Dhamma enough already. Duality. So duality is a very important concept of Buddhism. Because like Huining said, our self nature. Originally there was the poem, Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu. Originally there was that self nature. Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu. Originally, originally, Ben Lai Wu Yi. Originally, there is nothing. Because this is the oneness. This is the source of all things. From here, everything arises. That's why all Dhamma, how amazing, Huining say, all Dhamma arise from the self nature. And this self nature, originally there was nothing. So Shen Xiu doesn't understand this part. Shen Xiu is trapped in the mind, the mundane mind. He thinks that is the true mind. That is not the true mind. That is the condition arising mind, mundane mind. So that's why, Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu, He Chu Re Chen Ai. Originally, there was nothing. There is nothing. Then where can the dust alight? So this dust comes from duality. the concept of duality. Because Sun Siu, he doesn't understand this concept of duality. To him, he only has wholesome and unwholesome, pure and impure. So to him, das is like impure. Impure. Or defilement. So when you created this duality of a dust, then you have problem already. Once impure arise, the opposite will also arise, understand? If it is not pure, then the opposite will arise, impure. So what happened is, when Sun Siu created this, he is trapped. Because he is trapped in his own creation. That's why Hui Ning say, originally there is nothing. Where can the dust alight? Because if you don't create duality, there is no such thing as pure and unpure or impure. Or there is no such thing as dust and non-dust. So why do you go and create? Then after you create, you go and try through the mundane mind to meditate to cease the dust. That's why polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. Can't. You can't. The moment you create this, the opposite will manifest. Then you try to attach to the pure, to the perfect, to the wholesome. Then you try to reject whatever that is the opposite, impure, defilement, unwholesome. So what are you doing? You are fighting your own creation, understand? And cultivation is not like that. If you cultivate this way, this is the mundane mind. The mundane mind create and try to cease it. How can you cease your own creation? To do that, the thought must die, understand? And the thought refuse to die. Well, it's egoic. So the thought that you use refuse to die. That's why Hui Ning, when he realized this, he can counter his poem. But the fifth patriarch also knew. He told Sun Siu. What did he tell Sun Siu? He said, you have reached the gate of enlightenment, but you don't know how to go in. Which means he has developed the normal cultivation, which is the sainthood way. He knows he has to cease all this, but he doesn't realize that the self nature will arise naturally, because it was always there. The moment you don't create duality, you cease all this, then that thing manifests. But that thing was all the time there. So that's where he got caught. He got caught in duality, in not understanding that. That's why fifth patriarch gave him another chance. He said, come out with another poem to show that you can, you are deserving of the inheritance of the sixth patriarch, the bath and the robe. But Sun Siu that time was very tense, so he couldn't come out with any of this. And because of that, the condition is such, Hui Ning will be the one that will inherit. Because from the poem, the fifth patriarch knew, he already have the condition to receive this. But he just want to give Sun Siu a chance. Because before Hui Ning wrote the counter reply, fifth patriarch already told Sun Siu. But for the next 1 or 2 days, he couldn't come out with any. Then when Hui Ning later on came to know about the poem many days later, then he came out and asked somebody to write his poem, then the fifth patriarch knew. That's why immediately after that, he rubbed off the thing. He said, never mind, this one also haven't really seen the true nature. Then after that, he walked to the kitchen area where Hui Ning was doing the pounding of the rice and all that. Then he saw Hui Ning with the pedestal because he was small size. He lacked the weight. So he put a pedestal, a rock, a big piece of rock, tied to his waist and used it to pound. Then the fifth patriarch knew this Hui Ning is gifted. He has the past. And he can understand all this. That's why he knocked on the, what they call it, the place he found the rice. He knocked three times. But before he did that, he actually have a short conversation with Hui Ning. He said, isn't it madness, he said, for you to sacrifice your life all the way to come just to seek Dhamma? Then Hui Ning replied, he said, I seek nothing less than some Buddhahood. Then he said, how is the rice? The one pounding one. He said, ready long ago, waiting to be sieved only. Then the fifth patriarch knew already. That's why he gave him the sign, he said, come tonight, Sankan. That's how Hui Ning went. Then when he heard the Diamond Sutta, he became thoroughly awakened. He only short of understanding the mundane mind. You know why Hui Ning got this problem or not? Because he was born without a mundane mind. That's why he doesn't understand how normal human being with the mundane mind through delusion, how they become entangled. Because to him, he was born without a mundane mind. So when he was born without a mundane mind, he doesn't understand all this. Because his mind, his nature already like that. So when the fifth patriarch expounded to him the Diamond Sutta, when he reached the part which I have been sharing with you all, he said, this mind, which is the mundane mind, the five aggregate of form where mind chemically conditioned out, you have to learn how to use it, and yet not deceived by it. Wow, the moment he heard that, he came to complete enlightenment. Meaning he completely understood what these things are. That's why he is able to understand what he already understood, the first part, the unconditioned. Where his mind is without the mundane mind, he really understood the unconditioned. What he lacked is the conditioned world. That's why when he come to that part, this mind that come with this physical body, that you are having now, even though it is the supramundane mind, because he was born without the mundane mind, you still need to use it, and yet not deluded by it. Because this one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not real, impermanent. That's why it's anicca. If you attach and cling, it will lead to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it can never be a permanent, unchanging entity where you can grasp onto, cling onto, and hold onto and say, this is me, this is mine, all this are mine, or this is me, this is I, all this are mine. So straight away he came to great awakening. That's why this part, when Hui Ning came to the understanding, he is already transformed completely, and he know how to use them. But the fifth patriarch knew the causes and conditions is that he cannot come out, because that form and mind is at risk of being destroyed. People will come after him, where there is this mundane type of condition that will manifest. Because the people at that time expected Shen Xiu is the only one that is eligible to the patriarchship. You remember? After the fifth patriarch told them, don't waste time on tinted merit. Strive on to come out with a verse to show me that your cultivation has reached a level of understanding so that I can pass on the patriarchship to whoever who can come out with the verse. Then all of them decided nobody should write except Shen Xiu, Da Si Xiong. That's why they expect him to be the inheritant or the receiver of the patriarchship. Then the fifth patriarch knew. That's why he straight away told Hui Ning, you have to leave now. Middle of the night, he sent him off. Then the story continued. When they were at the boat, when they want to steer off, the fifth patriarch said, I will steer you, then you go. He said, no. After you have transmitted the thing, now it's my turn to steer you. That's why he steered whatever that small boat. Then they were able to, he was able to leave that way place. Then after that, the fifth patriarch came back. Then the next morning, only things start to happen. I think they realized Hui Ning not around already. Then there were rumor that the patriarchship has been transmitted. So all this come about because of the poem, the second poem. So because of jealousy, a lot of the follower, they try to chase after Hui Ning. That's why they try to track him down and bring back the robe, the insignia of the robe and the bud, so that Shen Xiu can be officially proclaimed the sixth patriarch. See, at that time, they even go against the fifth patriarch's wish. So civilization can be such. Then even after that, Bodhidharma did told Hui Ke. The part on Bodhidharma is very interesting too. Last time I sent a video clip, short version, you remember? For sharing. It's from the show actually. It's very interesting, Bodhidharma, how he transmit the Dhamma to China, to the East. Then how he actually introduced this teaching. Then he said, this robe and bath, when he transmitted to Hui Ke, he said, this tradition shall continue until the sixth patriarch. After the sixth patriarch, there is no need for the transmission, because by then, this teaching, the Mahayana teaching, would have taken root, he said. So that was how all this happened. Then in the Bodhidharma series towards the end, it was very interesting. At first when they came, you remember, when they came, it was because the emperor invited Bodhidharma. Then Bodhidharma came. So as usual, you know, in the ancient civilization during the early years of Chinese civilization, they expect you come as a ambassador from India, especially with the Dhamma and all those things. They think you must be very famous and very powerful or some dignity or what. But they saw Bodhidharma came alone, without any follower, without any grand thing and all those things. So the abbot and all those temple's monk, they were instructed by the emperor to receive him, look down on him, understand? So they had some misunderstanding. Then Bodhidharma continued. Then one day, they decided to have a session on meditation, sitting meditation. So the abbot, together with, I think, four senior monks, I would say. So they went in. Then Bodhidharma was also around. Bodhidharma also went in. Then they make this ruling. Yeah. We're supposed to develop silent meditation, so nobody should speak. Whoever speaks, will be disqualified. You have to get out. So what happened was, they meditated for quite a while until middle of the night. Then there were wind. There were very severe wind movement and all those things, and rain. And suddenly the window starts to move. So you know Chinese, they got this fear at night with the wind, the howling and all those things. Then the sound of the window. So one of the monks developed fear. He said, "What is that sound?" Then the other monk laughed, "Huh, you break the rule." Then the other one also, "You also break the rule." So everybody break the rule, except Bodhidharma. So but Bodhidharma didn't do anything. Silent. Then he, there's a glassware that used to cover the Chinese tea on the cup. He used the glassware and make sound on the table. Then when they hear him doing that, they say, "What are you doing?" They ask Bodhidharma, "What are you doing?" Then Bodhidharma asks back, "What are you all doing?" He said, "We were sitting in silence and meditation." He said, "I'm polishing this glassware to make it into a mirror." They laugh at him. No? They say, "You must be crazy. This is a glassware. How can it become a mirror?" Then he tell them back, "What I'm trying to tell you, if this is impossible, means it's foolish. But I see you all doing exactly what I show you." They cannot understand. You listen to this, you will learn a lot. He said, "Do you think by sitting like that, don't making any noise, it will make you enlightened?" He said, "Enlightenment is not about form, not about sitting, not about not talking and all those things. Enlightenment is to awaken that self nature, that true nature." Then this monk all got stunned. You know what they asked him? "What do you mean?" He said, "Everybody see it. If you don't see it, how can you become enlightened?" Then Bodhidharma told him, "Whatever you do in meditation, you must start from basic." So this word is very important. Start from basic. So you know what the monk's response was. So the monk thought, start as a samanera and all those things. So they asked Bodhidharma, "What do you mean by starting from basic? We are senior monk, understand not? We already gone through all those things. That's why we finally need to see it." Bodhidharma said, "Start from basic means you must understand who are you, what are you. You can't even understand that you have a self nature, and everything arises from this self nature, whether wholesome, unwholesome, evil and non-evil, they all arise from here." He said, "This is basic. It's just like this basic thing of self nature. That's why the Buddha Sakyamuni say, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome." He said, "This basic teaching also you don't understand, you meditate for what? Do you follow? This basic will teach you that your mind creates duality. Understand? Good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. And from the self-nature, the mundane mind arises. And the mundane mind is the source of good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome. If this, they call it 根本, this basic understanding also you don't have, you can go and sit for umpteen years, you can never awaken. That's why you have to understand you have a nature which is independent of thought. Thought is dependent, originating, conditioned, right? From here, everything comes to be. This is basic understanding. That's why Bodhidharma's teaching and Huineng's teaching same. Take you direct to the true mind. Understand? Then from there, you can meditate. Everything becomes easy. So, after that one, they start to respect him. Oh. They start to listen to him. Then he start to teach them. Then even the abbot, they start to develop the real cultivation, the understanding. And towards the end, I think, he gathered them. I don't know how many of them, I forgot. Was it 10 or 6? Huh? Before Bodhidharma passed away. He called them all together. Yeah, sit down. But according to that video, I think there is only 5 of them. So he asked each and everyone, he said, after my passing away, you all should go each different direction to teach. And what you're supposed to teach and how to teach and all those things. So he said, I want to hear from each and every one of you. What have you learned from me? So one by one, they start to say something. You go and read the sutta, it's very interesting. Even the video. The first one said something very simple, I think, very simple. He said, you have only learned the superficial Dhamma, means like the surface, the skin, very superficial. Then the other one is more deep. More deep. The second one. Oh, he said, you have received the flesh. The third one went in deeper. He talked about impermanent and all those things, dependent origination, all those things. And he talked about the basic Dhamma, which is deeper. And then he said, you receive think the bone or the one. Then there is another one. This one talk about empty nature of all things. Understand not? Everything is impermanent. Everything is unreal. Everything is dependent origin. It means very complete. Oh, he says, you're not bad. You receive the, I don't know what analogy he used. He said like, if beyond the boat, you receive quite a bit. But the last one he asked, Huike, the second patriarch, that he passed the insignia, robe and the batu. Before he passed to him, he asked him, Huike, what have you learned? You know what he did? You all don't know what he did. He didn't do anything. He just go and pay respect. Then after that, everybody looked around. He didn't learn anything there. Then Bodhidharma said, that is it. That is it. Because what you have learned cannot be expressed. Understand? Whatever that is expressed is Dhamma. Not that thing. You have received everything. I will pass you the rope and the incense. That's why I don't talk a lot. Don't talk too much. The one who understand doesn't talk. Because the best way to express your gratitude is by paying respect. That's it. No words can express it. Because the moment he sat in front of Bodhidharma to request for the Dhamma, Huike already has that resolve. And you know who is this Quaker? Yeah, he chopped off one arm, correct. But before that, you know who was here? I think he is the one. No, that one is the knife that he keep. If I'm not wrong, he is the one that is very violent on hot temper, you remember? And he whacked the tooth out of Bodhidharma. Well, then he finally, he almost died because the one say, the king of hell want to see you. Then he said, what have I done wrong? So they said, you have done terrible wrong. He said, you whack that guy. He said, we are according to King Yama. There is a fully enlightened being around, but you are teaching the false Dhamma. And you are very violent. That's why they want to bring it. He said, cannot be. He said, tell me, who is the one that has one? Is it the one that you whack? Is it? Oh, then he asked for permission. He said, give me some time. I will come, but I need to go and see him. That's why he chased, and I think he catched up with him. Then finally, I think he was the one that was able to receive the patriarchship from him. So this story, you base it on, I don't know whether that part is the one or not, because I think he is the one. Must be Huike. So you look at the way that Zen series from Bodhidharma onward until the sixth patriarch, all these are beautifully related. So when Huike received the insignia robe and the bath, Bodhidharma tell him, he said, this robe and bath shall stop at the sixth patriarch. Just now I relate to you already. Yeah, by then, he said, the Dhamma, the Mahayana teaching would have flourished after the sixth patriarch. So no need to pass on. That's why after that, all of the subsequent patriarchs, they don't have the robe and the insignia. Then we visited the sixth patriarch place last year. Last year was beautiful, that place. We went to all his birthplace and the place that he actually visited while having his 16 years of hiding with the hunters and all those things. Then how he finally came out. Then he was able to have the condition to be recognized, then put in charge. That temple, what was the name of the temple? The abbot saw him with the flag and the wind incident. Then they invited him. Then from there, he was given the position to actually transmit the Dhamma and all those things. That monastery is very famous. I forgot already. What is the name? Guo En Si. So that place was... you remember we went in that time. I think the first hall is Fa Hai and Shen Hui. Shen Hui is the youngest disciple. Fa Hai is the chief disciple. Then there is a drum like the Tibetan one, very big one, where we turn it around. Golden one. That one is another one. Oh, that one is his birthplace or what? Or Guangzhou itself. That one is his hometown, is it? His hometown. But whatever it is, all these places are very beautiful. Very beautiful. And we managed to visit almost all of them. Then we met up with some very good monks too. Then he even took us into the place where the relics are. And he helped us to chant the, like you all say, Pao Xiang or what. He Lao Fo. He took us three rounds like that. That monk was very good. So the condition was so beautiful. That's how it's meant to be. That trip was very, very wholesome and very beautiful. So all this is to let you understand. I just repeat this part. The basic understanding for cultivation must be there. He said, if this basic also you don't understand, you are wasting your time. Really? Instead of talking about thought-based meditation and all those things. Because this self-nature, you have to really understand. Each and every living being, they have this. Because all beings are connected to this. We are from here, everything arises. Then, the basic teaching is, Sakyamuni said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises from the self nature, all dhamma arises, all duality arises, the phenomenal world of consciousness arises. And whatever that arises is dependent originating, condition arising within the existential world. But this self nature is the unconditioned, is the source. It's already there, originally. But this is never born. Whatever that is never born, never get old, never get sick, and never die. So when you understand this, then you can start. That's why the basic teaching start means you have to understand the mundane mind. And this mundane mind need to be trained, need the spiritual faculty, need the silent mind for you to cultivate, because you have to return to this self-nature. You cannot return to this self-nature, you cannot awaken, you cannot understand all this. That's why mindfulness is to return to the true mind, the self-nature. When you are mindful, aware, without thought, there is no mundane creation, no heedless thinking, no sankhara, no thought process. Then everything becomes clear. Then the stillness, the silence, the tranquility, the clarity allow you to see things as they are, and that nature can awaken to the characteristics of nature. It's only when this nature awakens, the wisdom comes about. And this wisdom need to be connected to the form and mind. The final aggregate of form and mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind, originally before it's enlightened, there is no wisdom connected. This wisdom is very important. And this one can come about only through the direct seeing, via the direct seeing. So not until this wisdom is connected to this form and mind, this form and mind will be deluded. But the moment wisdom is connected, then this one you can say is enlightened. But this is not you. So the whole of cultivation is just go back to the self nature or the true mind or the mundane. Or the true mind or the silent mind. Then from there, the direct seeing awakens. So this wisdom come about via direct seeing. May seeing things as they are. So this is the awakening. So when the awakening come about, the wisdom is developed. And this wisdom is connected to the form and mind. So this one we can say is the form and mind. five aggregate of form and mind. So this one is connected. Without the wisdom connected, this one is deluded. This one will become ordinary putujana. The moment is connected, this one becomes arya. So whether it's arya or non-arya, depends whether it's connected or not. Yeah? Then this one is arya. Because it's connected. Yeah. Otherwise, this one is just a normal being, putujana. But this one is not you, because this one is impermanent, karmically conditioned for you to come to this world. That's why you must know how to use this as a vehicle and tool for you to live life. But this one is subject to karma. This one is subject to karma. That's why you must have right duty. That's why the four qualities of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the Arya Sangha, of good conduct, of upright conduct, of wise conduct. Then the last one is of dutiful conduct. Well, this is subject to karma. That's why you have a duty. You cannot simply act. Because the law of karma actually is part of this form and mind. So this form and mind is subject to the law of karma. Subject to law of karma. When you understand this, you understand the whole of life, the whole of cultivation. So a lot of Buddhists or cultivators, they can't progress because they don't understand this. So this part about duality, the meaning is very deep, which Shenhua didn't manage to explain and share. So now with this, maybe we can move on. Do you have any questions regarding this, about the self nature? Anybody got any questions? Is it clear now? Yes. Pass the mic to Sister. No, Adeline.
Overcome duality, is that the middle way? If we are on the middle way, we can overcome this problem.
I will explain that. Do you have any particular question? I will explain that. Oh, that is your question. Okay, thank you. Very good. You all should rejoice. You see, the question is, how do we overcome duality? You have to understand. I have already explained many times, but this time maybe it can allow you to have clear understanding. So this duality pertain to what? Pertain. To the mundane mind, That's the Monday mind create, understand right? Which is the condition world. This one will always exist within the condition world, the existential world. Can you follow? Because to live life, you have to use the mundane mind. Thought must arise. So this one pertains to the condition world, the existential world, where this is the mundane mind. And this one exists. That's why this one got karma. You understand? So understanding free your mind. Not how to meditate. You meditate to realize what? The moment you have wisdom, you have understanding, this one liberates your mind. You are not deluded. So duality, you don't have to fight it. Like the mental hindrance, understand? You don't have to, like, every time you see something, oh, Brother Teo say no duality. Then you try to go middle way and all things. It's not like that. The middle way is noble if opal. Understand now? Because that is the middle way. Because, like the Buddha said, he teach the middle way. There are two meanings, very deep. The middle way, the first one is to avoid the two extremes. You know what are the two extremes is that? Self-mortification and sensual indulgence. So the first one, you already have the understanding that this is very simple. That's why those who go by delusion way, they go and mortify themselves, thinking that after you mortify your body long enough, all the bad karma will be cleared. Then when you got no more bad karma, they think you become enlightened. That is wrong view. Enlightenment got nothing to do with whether you got good or bad karma. Whether you have exhausted all your bad karma, nothing to do with that. Enlightenment is about awakening. So that is the first aspect of the middle way. That's why the Buddha said, avoid the two extremes. That is the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? But a deeper meaning of the middle way, which is not explained in the sutta, is to transcend duality. To transcend duality. How to spell? S-C-E-N-D, to transcend duality. This is the second aspect of the middle way. So this one is second aspect of the middle way. To transcend reality means you must have wisdom. That's why every time I teach you that one is from my nature's realization. I always tell you, people are just the way they are. Remember? The world is the world. Thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Cannot be otherwise. So whatever happened within the conditioned world, you have to accept. You understand? Accept means no more duality. You understand? No more right and wrong. Yeah, he is just the way he is. He will behave like that because the conditioning is like that. The views, the opinion, and everything that he holds is like that. Condition like that, things will be like that. That is the wisdom part. So to transcend duality, you need enlightenment. Understand? And what is the Noble Eightfold Path? It is the path that leads to the enlightenment. That's why the moment you are enlightened, this second aspect of the middle way, you will realize. You understand? And the reason why you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path is because for you to be truly enlightened, you need to have the embodiment of all the noble qualities of the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah, you look at the Noble Eightfold Path factors, every one of them, they are related to life. Can you remember? I always explain to you all. Without right view, the first path factor, you cannot understand life. You cannot understand who you are, what you are. You cannot understand the secret of life. The five universal order, especially the three spiritual order of Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. So all this is part of life. So when you have the right view, then you can understand life, then you will know how to live life. Then you will understand what is right and wrong, still duality. But this is within the existential world, understand or not? That's why you cultivate right thought. With right view, you cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And these are noble qualities, because these are the virtue of an enlightened being. Because you are a noble one. You are very noble in all aspects of life. The way you communicate, the way you arise your speech, your action, the way you live your life, the way you arise your thought, they are all accordance with the Dhamma. Wholesome, pure, right. No negativity. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is indeed the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil. How to avoid all evil? Means clear away your wrong view. Straighten your view through your meditation, the direct seeing, awaken, understand. Then straighten your view. Keep on straightening your view, your wrong view, your right and ritual, your belief system, your attachment, your craving, your clinging, thinking that the five aggregate of form and mind is real, thinking that everything is permanent, and there is no such thing as suffering when you are very rich, very wealthy. No, the truth is the opposite. That's why when you have all these views straightened, then you realize the form and mind is not you. That's how wisdom comes to be. That's how this one protects this one from being deluded. So that right view alone is so powerful. Then after that, it will condition right thought. It will know it's never worthwhile to break the precepts, the law of karma, violate the law of karma. That's why you will automatically develop the ability to cultivate the right thought leading to the right speech and right action and the right way to live your life. Then you constantly arise a four right effort to purify your thought process, to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then to prevent them from arising, the second right effort. Then the third right effort is to cultivate whatever right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Then the last right effort is to perfect them all. Refine upon them and perfect them all. Yeah. Then, of course, you will be heedful, mindful, all the time. That's why sati and samadhi is there. That's why all the Noble Eightfold Path factors are there. And this is all related to life. That's why the enlightened being must have this quality. That's why you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And that is also the reason why I always emphasize to you, whatever meditation you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can claim to be enlightened, fantastic meditative experience and all those things. You can perform psychic magic, not important, but that is not the enlightenment. That is not the unconditioned. So all these teachings are very important. Then when you understand, you transcend duality with wisdom, nothing else. So Noble Eightfold Path, inside the teaching, that is the first teaching after his enlightenment when he met the five ascetics. Well, this is the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon proclaimed by the Buddha. He straight away avoid the two extremes, the opening statement of self-mortification and sensual indulgence. Well, he realized they went wrong. He himself also went wrong. For 6 years, he was mortifying his physical body. And he did all the jhana. No awakening. That's why he knew. He left the teacher. Then he knew when he was in the palace, he was enjoying life, sensual indulgence. That one also cannot bring about enlightenment. That's why he decided to eat, to develop the middle way, to avoid these two extremes and to have a healthy body that can sustain the practice, the cultivation, the understanding. All this needs to be understood. Then when he has this understanding, he meditates and silence his mind and he connects back to the true nature, then he inherited his past perfection, the Sambhogayakaya, the spiritual nature. That's how it combines with the Nimanakaya, the functional body. Then this one becomes the Sambhogaya, the Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body of the Sammasambuddha that can teach the Dhamma. So all this understanding are very important, and we should thank Sister Adeline for asking that very good question. Otherwise, no condition to explain to you all. Because this part, just now I only talk about duality. What is this Mandarin word? Xiang. Xiang Tui Fa. Is it? Xiang Tui Fa. Oh, okay. So duality. This one is very important. This one is to be understood with wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot break. But this one comes from the mundane mind that creates through delusion. The reality is, like the Buddha says, suchness, tatata, jnana, dasana, seeing things as they are. No duality. That is the truth. That is the reality. That's why that is suchness, the isness of things. That's why jnana, dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. That's why you have the direct seeing to see things as they are. Not according to your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system and all those things. But this is all from memory. Memory is knowledge of the past. But when you see the direct seeing, pure perception without the mundane mind, all this don't exist. You remember? When you see the image, when you see the artwork, the direct seeing is the pure perception. Like the baby, without the memory coming in. No. Means the direct seeing, just that thing as it is, the consciousness of it. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see, there is nothing to label. Because it's before the knowing, before the perception, before the words, before the concept. That is the direct seeing. Now you understand? And this is what you need, nothing else. And this is the secret of understanding the Buddha Dhamma. And all these years I've been trying to share only this, nothing else. Everywhere I teach, I keep on repeating and repeating and repeating. But today is very good. Well, there is condition for the overall teaching to come out. Sadhu, yeah.
But there's one more question to ask you to further detail on it. The Noble Eightfold Path are the middle way, and yet it's still on duality. Right view, right wrong view, right thought, wrong thought, all the right and all the duality. 8 times 2, so 16 are still there. To transcend duality, I remember on Tuesday class, Bharati always said, this Noble Eightfold Path is the mundane cultivation
leading to the supramundane. Correct. Mundane leading to the supramundane. Correct. Very good. Sadhu.
How to transcend further on these two dualities?
Actually, very good question, Sadhu. Meant to be, today complete everything. Because you remember in one of the short notes, the outline of the short note, I think in the Tuesday class, I say first noble truth, second noble truth, they are mundane noble truth. Because the Buddha, when he expounded the essence of his teaching, which is the four noble truths, I already, since the year 1971, when I read about it, I knew nobody can do it. It has to be the Samasamut, otherwise he can. Even my nature at that time, if I had this style of enlightenment, this style of wisdom, I cannot summarize all his teaching into just Four Noble Truths. So simple. And this Four Noble Truths is so complete that it explains to all living beings the complete mundane and supramundane aspect of life. That's why I use the word the secret of life. So which part is mundane? Which part is supramundane? So I say the first noble truth talks about the noble truth of dukkha. Means there is a noble truth that explains to you the reality of life and existence. He said suffering is everywhere, prevalent of suffering. You don't have the wisdom, the understanding of his teaching. That's why this is the noble truth, prevalence of suffering. That's why there are eight conditions or realities in life and existence that will lead to suffering when you confront them without understanding. That is the first noble truth. And he never said life is suffering. Then the second noble truth is that whatever that happened, whatever that condition suffering, there is a cause behind. And that cause is basically craving, born of self-delusion. Because of self-delusion, you think you exist, you attach, you cling, you grasp, you hold. So these two are mundane within the world. Then the third noble truth, the Buddha says, suffering need not be. Nibbana, which is the cessation of form and mind, can be realized in the here and the now, before you die. This is supramundane. This is the enlightenment state. And when you awaken, when you realize Nibbana, this form and mind, you can say, this one is enlightened, but this one is not you, in a sense. So that's why, after enlightenment, the form and mind is still there, but connected with the wisdom. And this one can get to live the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You can realize the state of enlightenment and live the life of an enlightened being. Means you reap the fruit of your hard work. That's why this phase is the most beautiful. You get to live life to the fullest. You get to experience the wonders of life. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. So you get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And you live the life of an enlightened being. And this is so beautiful. And this is what that thing is. So third noble truth is about this possibility of enlightenment. The supramundane. You have this supramundane understanding, which is the wisdom, then when your mundane mind collapses, when your mundane mind collapses, you become a great being, a bodhisattva, to cultivate the perfection. That one will allow you to experience the supramundane mind. Understand? That mind is no more mundane. That mind is the supramundane mind. Your mundane mind collapses already. Like Hui Ning born without that one. Yeah. Then the great being, when they reach that level of enlightenment, the mundane mind will collapse. Then you get to live the life of enlightenment. So that's why third noble truth is about the supramundane aspect of life. Then you have the fourth noble truth, which Engby asked, which is very good. The Buddha said, you cultivate this noble eightfold path. That's why this noble eightfold path still got its duality. Right view, wrong view, right thought, right speech, and all those things. So he said, you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So when you realize the enlightenment, which is Nibbana, which is the third noble truth, that's why I say, from the mundane, it will lead you to the supramundane. That is what the fourth noble truth is all about. So when you cultivate noble eightfold path, it's mundane, understand not? But you need this because these are the qualities of an enlightened being. Because you are a noble one. You have to be noble in all aspects of your life. You understand? Without the noble eightfold path cultivation, you are not an Arya. Understand? You can never become an Arya. Because you don't have this noble quality within the conditioned world. You don't have right view. This form and mind don't understand. Simply do things. But when you have this right view cultivated, law of karma, karma niyama, then chitta niyama, dependent origination, then dhamma niyama, then this one is no longer deluded. That's why even know the law of karma, it will not violate. It will know what is right thought, right speech, right action, right life. That's why it will cultivate all this. Then the four right effort to constantly purify your thought process, the unwholesome all you clear. That's why you become truly enlightened being, Arya, noble being, with noble understanding, noble character and personality, and noble mind state. Means you are always mindful, ever mindful, heedful, and in a state of samadhi. That's how from that cultivation which is mundane, leading to the supramundane, which is the awakening. The enlightened. The moment you awaken, you know duality is the mundane. So you won't go and get yourself entangled anymore. That's why that time, Kan San, Yu Si San. No more argument. The first fellow say, Kan San, Yu Si San, yeah, San, you also agree. Yeah. The second fellow who is enlightened, Kan San, Bu Si San, you are directly, yeah, Kan San, Bu Si San. But the third phase is where a lot of people cannot integrate back. That is going back to life. That's why finally, Kan San, Yu Si San. That's why Hui Ling say, how amazing it is that all Dharma arise from the self nature. And the self nature is already complete by itself. No need anything else. That's why all the teaching come from that understanding. So now, clear? Yeah, sadhu. Because this mundane cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path will lead to the enlightenment. That's why from the mundane, it lead to the supramundane. That's why if you can recall all my teaching and you go back and reflect and contemplate, then you will understand my final summary today. They are all connected. They are all linked. And since the year 2004 until now, all the teaching is the same. No different. Except people cannot understand. Well, last time they used to tell me, Brother Teo, now you share different. I say, you go back and listen to all the tape and the recording. They got different. Everything is still the same. But that time you cannot understand. It was already shared. But you all cannot understand. But now, towards the tail end, especially after you all gone through Diamond Sutta, the Heart Sutta. The Heart Sutta is very important. All the basic teaching before the Bodhisattva way is all there. Then after that, the Blue Book, the Bodhisattva, they say after this, I think we will go through the Blue Book, that they Miss Lee suggested, which is very good, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. Then after that, maybe Dhammapada. Dhammapada, very useful. Well, I have to bring most of you all back to the basic teaching because a lot of them are not from Theravada tradition. So, like the Tuesday class, the life of the Buddha and his teaching, you have to go through. Otherwise, a lot of them don't know how this thing come about. Then the Dhammapada, there's a lot of teaching. I only taught you all the basic, like the handful of leaf that is needed for cultivation. Then recently, because of the election, this condition, I add in two more. Dhammapada was 119 and 120. But there are a lot of Dhammapada saying that is very important. Very, very beautiful. So this one complete the whole understanding. And I think because of condition, that's why the questions are all very, very direct and very relevant. We should thank Adeline and Sister Ingrid. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. Any more questions? Oh, four more minutes. After that, you can have your meditation. So maybe. We can stop here. Okay. Okay. So we stop here. So the commentary, we will go through it maybe the next Sunday class. I heard the next two Sunday class is over. So Miss Lee got something on, then Pamasuri also. So the next two Sunday class is off. So just make a note. Okay, now you can have your meditation. We are off the light, then you can have your silent meditation. Hello. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have at night, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will have our meditation reporting followed by whatever Q&A. You just lift up your hand or put up your hand, we will pass you the mic. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask whatever question relating to the Dhamma or the meditation. Anybody? Where's the mic? Oh, okay. Can. Who say that? No, just now when you started, you say recently, did somebody say that? You better use the mic. Yeah, it's a bit soft. I can't hear. You sit over there. Not so. The distortion is not so much. Okay.
The meditation is only started when you have from. That means you begin from the silent mind.
Okay.
Is that? Am I getting it right?
Oh, okay. So that is your question.
My question is, if the self nature and the true mind is actually already in pure seeing, right? Alright? So, if it is in pure seeing, then when you, like in, for instance, when we meditated, if we need to meditate from the silent mind, right?
Okay.
Okay.
So, what is your
question? When the mind is already very quiet.
Okay. So, what is your question?
My question is, then, what is, what I mean is, when the mind is very silent, so the, are we still stay with the silent mind? Or we let the anything arise from it, then we just aware of it.
Okay, I think I will I will answer you. I think I know why you ask those questions in that way. You haven't got it understood, that's why you still keep on trying to understand using your knowledge. You see, your first question is it true that before you meditate until you can realize the silent mind, the real meditation haven't started? And this is what I have been telling you all this while. Not until your daily mindfulness is very stable, then you can't have the silent mind, understand or not? So you have to develop the training of the mind to have this ability to be mindful first. Then stabilize it until ever mindful. This is what I have been sharing you all. So, first is your spiritual faculty developed. If it's not developed, it will be heedless. It will think a lot. So you have to cultivate spiritual faculty. But if you didn't work on that and still want to meditate, then you have to use either the mind-sweeping method all the combine with metta, then stabilize the mind so that the heedless thinking temporarily is at bay. Because now you decondition it, it doesn't think anymore. You just feel relaxed. Feel relaxed. Then it will be calm. Then when it is calm, you use either anapanasati or whatever skillful means to stabilize it. Just do that, understand? Do until your mind become very quiet, until the breathing also become very quiet, like there is no more breathing, until the subtle breathing. Then the mind is just aware. Have you done that? If you have not done that, means you have not trained this mind. Means in the form of meditation also you can't get it. How can you get it in the daily mindfulness, in the midst of life? Understand? That's why your question will keep on arising as long as you have not done it. Where you try to preempt the thing and try to use your knowledge to understand and think you are doing it right. It's not about right and wrong, I already told you. Meditation is to be done with understanding. Understanding means it's not whether I'm doing it right or wrong. Whether I understand what is meditation or not. When I understand what is meditation, I do what I have to do. If I need to train the mind, I train. If I need to work on the spiritual faculty, I work. If I need to stabilize it, I stabilize it. That's why the bowing come in, the chanting continues come in. If you only do it in the retreat or in whatever chan qi or what, or even for 1 month or what, it's not going to help you. But after that, when you come out of it, you go back to square one. You become heedless again. So what I have been sharing with you all is train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty with the faith until it's very stable, until in the midst of formal meditation, you are already aware. The silent mind is already there. The mind is already in sati. Then bring it out into the daily life. Bringing it out into the daily life, you must have a complete religious routine, daily religious routine. Means throughout the day, you must develop meditation. And in between the daily mindfulness, stabilize it. Not until you hit that ever mindful state in the midst of life, the real meditation hasn't started. All those are conditioned state, meditation, thought-based. You are trying to meditate, you are trying to do all those things. And all this is by the thought. So who is meditating? The thought is. Why can't you just relax, silent, and stabilize the spiritual faculty? Stabilize your silent mind. Don't try to know anything. Just do. Do until it comes. Until bowing, the body and mind is one. Walking, the body and mind is one. You have to do until that thing really stabilizes. Then come to your second question, which you ask. That's why that question comes from the thought. Why must you stay with anything? When we use word to describe, you must not be entangled and confused by the word. When they tell you, stay with the knower, like the Thai tradition, a lot. Stay with the knower. Who is the knower? There is no one to know, understand or not? The moment you know, you are not in sati. So that is the wrong word to use. What they mean is stay with the awareness. The awareness that is aware, means don't arise a thought. But they use the wrong word, you all don't know. You all go and use the English word, but the translation is stay with the knower. It's not the knower. The knower already perceived, already knows something. That is the thought. Stay with the awareness. The awareness is when your mind is silent, you already aware. Why you want to try to be aware? Why you want to still want to stay with anything? The moment you are without thought, after you are trained, that is the awareness. So the awareness is already there. Why you want to use another thought in the concept to look for that? That one got no word. If you have done it when your mind is silent, the moment you are silent, it's already there. But you can't be silent because you want to know. That's where your problem comes in. Because you're too eager to know. You are searching it from the thought, from the knowledge. That's the reason why a lot of them are trapped, not only you. So what you need to understand is, it's not about whether I do it right or wrong. That one comes from the thought. It's about whether I understand what I am doing or not. When I understand, I just do. The understanding is, without the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances is there. So I check, I silent. Then I see whether the sankhara move or not. The restlessness is there or not. Sensual desire, craving, everything arise or not, even in the daily life. If I realize they are still active, means I have not trained my spiritual faculty. If my spiritual faculty is there, my sati is very stable, there is no thought. How can the reality arise? How can sensual desire and ill will arise? Then when I have samadhi, I can see things as they are. At the moment of sense experience, when I see something, hear something, smell, taste, touch, feel, or think of something, this mind doesn't move. But it's collected and unwavering. That's why it's just aware. It can be with that moment. So when you understand, you just train this mind until it is ever mindful. That part you have to do. That's why whatever method or technique, even rising, falling, or chanting, you chant until no one is chanting, until the awareness and the vibration become one. Sometimes the chanting can happen in the brain here. It will arrive. Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. It will arrive. You are not chanting. Then your awareness is with it. That is the real chanting. As long as you still need to verbalize, you have not reached a state where there is no one to chant. Means the voice is still there. But initially you need the voice because that is the one that gives you the faith. Understand? So with the faith and the virya, you chant, 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 until one day you realize the chanting is gone. Then that chanting appears by itself. In the brain or whatever. Then sometimes you go anywhere. As long as that chanting starts, your awareness is here. Then initially you can follow. You can like verbally inside. Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. You can actually use your voice if you want to make it strong. But if you have stability later on, the voice doesn't come out anymore. It's from inside. It's just awareness and the thing as one. Then later on, no chanting from outside also, inside it will chant by itself. Because you have developed it, the faith has manifested, it has connected. Then the awareness is always there. Then whatever condition, the mind is in that state of samadhi. Because the chanting has developed the spiritual faculty. The faith is very important. When the faith comes in, the virya is there. Every day you do, like a religious routine. So for them, every day they are chanting, mindful, aware, whatever they do. So that's how they develop. That's why you got your morning chanting, your evening chanting, then sometimes 15 full moon and new moon. They have all their various chanting. Then they have the 7 day, the 10 day, the 9 day, the 30 day. So they continuously develop, just like your Kuan Yin, that your recent retreat, they all went up one. So continue chanting. That's why some of them, like Adeline, they all, the mindfulness just came. Because you do it continuously. Understand? Then she already tried to stabilize it before she came for the retreat. That time, Wat Nalong. Rayong. So when you are determined with the faith and the virya, she will do it. Then when she's ready, that's why at the retreat, she benefited. Then later on when she go up, she benefited. Then she knew the daily mindfulness. And most of the time, for her state, and those who have gone through it, like Song Liao, they are throughout the day aware, mindful. That's what cultivation is all about. Because as long as you are not heedful, ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. That's why you must train your mind until you are ever mindful in the midst of life, so that you are heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise, you are as if dead. That's why the heedless are as if dead. So this training is not difficult when you understand. When you understand, you just do. Don't try to know. Don't worry about right or wrong. Every time the thought wants to know, you are, am I doing it right? So, who is trying to be right? The thought is trying to be right. It is too eager to know. Understand? Then the ego manifests without you knowing. But the ego, hey, I have got it already. Because I, especially I will tell you, oh, good, continue. But the still say right. Then you become complacent. Then you think you have got it. Then you stop everything. The real meditation is not about doing it right or wrong. It's about understanding what you have to do. If my spiritual faculty is not stable, I have to work on it. Especially mindfulness. Sada virya, easy. You can drive. But sati, you must do throughout the day. I already told you, a very, very good daily routine is very important. Before you sleep, meditate. Silence your mind, relax. When you go to sleep, be mindful. Silent, meditate, until you sleep. Then the most important is the next morning, the moment you wake up aware of your posture. Then mindful. Everything you do, mindful. Then pay respect, do your meditation again. You need to wash up, brush your teeth or what, do it mindfully. Then come out, go to your altar, then develop some form of meditation. Then after that, whatever you do, prepare breakfast, take breakfast or what, develop mindfulness. If you find it difficult, start with the four postures. Then connect up the other movement. All the activity, you have to do it. Then when you want to go out of the house, pay respect to Triple Gem again, have faith. Every time you pay respect and bow, there's an energy that goes to your heart. And initially, your heart has to open up first. Because if your heart is not sensitive, I realize it's not easy. Because you cannot be mindful. But when you are not able to open up this, this one will not be able to help you. You cannot even touch it. So you use your brain, you use your thought, you think a lot. And I find that very few people can even develop the faith until their heart here open up. But every time you pay respect with the faith, there's an energy going in without you knowing. Then later on, it will like become sensitive. Then you can feel a lot of things. You can feel a lot of things. Then that awareness from there can actually bring about the cultivation. Because the sati start from there. Then every time you lapse into like heedlessness, like anapanasati, you bring it back. You determine to aware. You come back to your heart. From here, aware outside. Determine, aware outside. So everything you do, aware outside. If you train it this way, like anapanasati, sooner or later, one day, you realize, hey, your mind is now different. Every time from inside, aware outside. Then everything you do from inside, you aware. You can see, you can trace them. Then all this daily routine, whether you are working or doing your daily activity, you have to maintain mindfulness, even driving. So that part need to be stabilized, established. That's why it's a full-time job, I use this word. But doesn't mean that you have to be in the working environment alone. Full-time job means you don't have to retire to full-time meditation. Means in the midst of your working life, you can also develop mindfulness. That is what I mean by full-time. Otherwise, like one of the Kayamitas about 10 over years ago, she thought when I say meditation is a full-time job, he come and talk to me and say, Brother Teo, I still need money. How can I retire? I say, who asked you to retire? You say, full-time job. I say, full-time job means whether you're working or not working, you are full-time developing the training of the mind to be aware. That is what meditation is about. It doesn't mean that you have to retire. No. If you need to work, you work. If you have to work, you work. If you can afford not to work, then it's your decision. You can either semi-retire or retire. But whatever you do, whether retire, semi-retire or not retire, or working, you can still cultivate. Your cultivation is about continuous mindfulness, awareness. And that is what the real cultivation is all about. Eh? So develop the understanding so that you are clear, then your focus is there. You won't get lost again. Otherwise, this question keep on coming up. Yeah, it's from the thought. The thought want to know whether I'm doing it right or not. It's nothing to do with right or wrong. It's like you want to learn something. You can read out all the theory, even cooking or whatever. But as long as you don't try to cook, it's all theory, no use, understand or not? Then once a while you cook, then you ask people to try. Good at this. Then you think you already done it. Then after that you complacent. Then you write down the formula. Through knowledge you remember. That is not a skillful cook. A skillful cook, no need anything. That manual as a guideline come, he know. All those things that is mentioned in the book is based on an assumption. Because all this is guideline. It's not the rigid ultimate. But everywhere is different. The cucumber you buy, the onion you buy, the whatever veggie you buy, the oil you use, everywhere is different, understand or not? And the way you understand the instruction. That's why everybody cook. But if you are a skillful cook, you no need to rely on that. You smell, you see, you know how to start already. You will know how to buy the ingredient, then you will try. Then after a while, they will understand one. How much salt to put, or depending on where you get all the veggie and all those things. Then how you cook, depend on your skill. That is the understanding part, so that you don't become rigid, so that you don't become knowledge-based, thought-based. Then you go and argue, the book say like that, no, the manual say like that, no. Why you go and put so much this one and that one? Then he someone say, that brand, no. Even that brand, the quality control come out, sometimes also not so reliable, understand? That's why you buy different batch, different type of product. It doesn't. But the person who cook, the moment they smell, they know already, this is not the one that they use to have. That's why your skill, your understanding will make the difference. So when you have all this understanding, you are not gullible. You don't look for knowledge. You don't go for. You observe. Then you understand. Then you try it out. That's why the trying out is very important. You must do until it becomes part of you, until you become very skillful, until you don't need anything to guide you. It's like object of meditation. Initially, it's a skillful mean to train, to anchor the mind. After that, if you still use that, you cannot progress. That's why all the object of meditation, you must relinquish them. Even the object of meditation, the chanting, you have to relinquish. So that the awareness is with the thing. That's why no one to chant. The awareness is with the chanting as one. Nobody behind. Anapanasati also, until the subtle breathing cease, then no need really. We are mind enter sati already. During that time, whatever you see, you are in sati. Whatever you smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, you are in sati. So that mind is different now. You must have that stability of mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot understand what this cultivator is trying to share with you. Okay? No problem, because I realize you have not really understood that part. That's why you keep on still, they call in the vicious circle, trapped inside there. Because your old thinking, you are too eager to know. Understand? Then last time, Pak Mahasuri, now she already different. She is not to say eager to know. She is too eager to progress. Which is better than yours, but it's still a problem. Because it's like very kappa, understand? Want to have the progress, but cannot. No, then inside, I tried so hard, I did so much, still not there. Because this type of Dhamma, the understanding, you cannot have the craving inside there, the thought, the desire to progress, to be awakened. Cannot. Condition has to unfold. That's why you just do, don't try to know. Then when all the condition is there, all of a sudden, you will understand. Then when your daily mindfulness is there, you will see a lot of things that you never see before, I tell you. Your mental intention, all in there, and how your movement, sankhara, you can be with the moment. No need to do anything, it's just like that. Then the whole TV, the phenomena, your awareness flow with it. Everything is like a flow. That's how you can see the physical flow, the mental flow, nature's flow. Everything is in a state of awareness. Specific, phenomenal awareness. Then spacious awareness without a center. Your mind is just like that. That's why no dwelling. So first, train your mind until no thought. If no thought also cannot, then you are still not really developing the meditation. That's why when you are most of the time aware, means most of the time you are without thought. You are just aware. Then maybe you perceive, you aware, then the thought arrives, but it stops. After that, it doesn't proliferate anymore. Then you continue with your daily life. Thought will arise, but immediately after that, you don't allow it to proliferate. It doesn't move like before anymore. Then it's always with the moment more and more, more and more. Last time is, you think ahead. A lot of things you were thinking, then you plan. Oh, okay, that one do this. Then after that, that conditioning, because you want to do, so you actually walk, let's say at home, you want to go upstairs to take something. Eh? You say, oh yeah, I need to go up and take something. Then what happens? When that thought arrives, you are not aware of what you are doing. Understand? Then that thought conditions you to go upstairs. Then as your body turns upstairs, you are not aware. You are still thinking. Then suddenly you reach the staircase, your thought asks you, why are you here? Then you recall, oh, I'm supposed to do something. That's why I'm here. Because you are not mindful. When you are mindful, all these things cannot happen. Then you are with the moment. But when your thought is ahead of your action and activity, that's why you become heedless. You think a lot. And the thought is ever, ever proliferating ahead of your action. And you hardly aware, because you think a lot. That's why human beings probably, they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. They never with the moment to truly live life, to be aware. That's why I say, whatever you need to do, write it down. So that don't have to use memory so much. So that you don't have to retrieve it through the thinking. Just write it down, very simple. Then the mind don't have to worry because it's already written down. What are the things you need to do? You just write it down. Then it saves you a lot of memory and honesty. Then no need to remember anything. Then when your brain doesn't register, your brain got space. Like last Thursday class, like this table. Hey, I don't have anything on the table like your author last time I commented one. Remember last time, very clouded with all the offering, the fruit and all that, you can't move, no space at all. And you know what are all these items? These are your rites and ritual, belief system, everything. Your pantang and all those things, your superstition. Oh, my mother said, cannot do this, cannot do that. Chikwepua cannot go out. So this thing creates fear in you, you know. Next week, chikwepua, no. Cannot go out, no. Remember, you go and put fear into yourself and go and put fear into others. Because these are your belief system, that is the month where all the hell beings are released. You go and believe that, that's why you got fear. And these are all the things you are holding on in your brain, your mind. That's why you don't have space. And especially your psychological fear, your worry, your anxiety, your problem, your insecurity, your scars of memory. You deposit all those things there. And thought is respond to memory. That's why this thought keep on arising. That's why you don't straighten your view and clear of all this rubbish through daily mindfulness so that there is space, so that you don't hold anything. The memory can be there, but they are not on the table. Your brain is free to move. You don't have rites and ritual, pantang belief system. You're just aware. Thing is just the way it is. You just manifest, move freely. No restriction. No need to worry, oh, who say what, who say what. You just act according to wisdom, understanding, follow Noble Eightfold Path. If I have right view, I will do the right thing. If I don't have right view, I will do the wrong thing. That's why the user of thought is very important. So without right view, without wisdom, you don't know how to use thought. Then there is delusion behind. That's why all the thought become wrong thought, where the user of thought is deluded. That's why the ego, the selfishness, the emotion, the anger, the hatred, the fear, the worry, they all this exists because of the atta. Without the atta, who is having fear? Nothing. Who is selfish? Nothing. It's just for my mind, for me to use. I use. Then it's no more about me. It's about law of karma. That's why this one got a duty, cannot simply do things. Am I violating the law of karma so that the karmic nature affected? Then this form of mind will have to inherit all those things. Then you are born of it, heir to it. This is wisdom. This is right understanding. So you act according to wisdom, not with your memory, with your conditioning, with your fear, your worry, your anxiety, all this rubbish. That's why there must be space. Space between thought, awareness. When there is space, there is freedom. Because when there is space, there is no thought. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. Then there is peace. There is tranquility, there is stillness, there is clarity, there is understanding. That's why this one can awaken. I just sent out the sharing, I think, the transcript by my daughter for the last Thursday one. So it's all there. That's why when you read through with understanding, you will understand. Then reflect, contemplate until very, very clear, until you understand it clearly. Then you just do. Don't ask any more questions after that. Not to say you cannot ask, you can ask, but don't continuously get trapped in the thing. Ask means ask the questions that are relevant to cultivation. When you understood already, you go ahead and cultivate, then you will encounter other type of things. That type of questions are very useful, very relevant. Like just now Adeline asked. Because she has all those cultivation, then she wants to know how to overcome duality, you understand? Because the daily mindfulness all there already. This is the wisdom part. That's why I explained. Duality is different. You don't have to do anything. You only need to develop wisdom. Then you know that this is for the mundane world. Understand? I explained just now. Duality is for the mundane world, the conditioned arising world. Because this is created by the mundane mind. So within the mundane mind, the conditioned world, duality will exist. Accept it. People will talk like that, understand? Human beings will behave like that. They will arise all this. But you know these are duality, convention of society, of living beings who don't have wisdom and Dhamma. But if you already have the wisdom, then this duality doesn't appear to you, understand not? The people are just the way they are. That's why wisdom free, liberate. Then you are not attached to duality. Right and wrong is for the convention of society. And when I can see things as they are, accept them for what they are, then my mind is free. And the world is the world. Human beings are just the way they are. So with this understanding, which is wisdom, my mind liberates from duality. That is what the second aspect of the middle way is all about. It transcends duality. Because the wisdom will allow you not to be caught within the phenomenal world of existence created by the mundane mind through delusion. So you know how to use the form and mind. It's for you to use. And you know this is not real, not you. That's why you use. You do your duty. And this is what enlightenment is all about. That's why when they cultivate, they will come to know this part they haven't understood. That's why they ask this type of question, which is correct. But if you don't have the initial cultivation of the daily mindful, you cannot ask this type of question. But you haven't even reached the cultivation to ask this question. That's why Engi, after he read my note, he can ask the Noble Eightfold Path, because the cultivation is mundane leading to the supramundane. That's why they can ask this type of question. And both of them are doing the daily mindfulness. They have done it very stable for quite a while already. You don't believe, you go and ask them. So this is where the cultivation differ. When you understand, you work on it, you become different, you will transform. But when you don't understand, you will continuously entangle yourself within the cocoon, where you cannot break free. So listen to it, reflect, contemplate, write it down, and understand, then just do. All these are the same message that I have been answering you since the very early days until now. It's still the same, because if you have the understanding, my nature will know. My nature will advise you further how to develop your cultivation after that. So work on the daily mindfulness. Get it right. Then after that you will ask different guys. Then you will come and thank me for what I have advised you. Because that daily mindfulness, once stabilized, you become completely different. Your knowledge is all gone because you see different things. The mindfulness will allow you to see a lot of things where your mind becomes very sensitive, very aware. And all of the mental intention, the movement, everything like slow down. Your thought process, your sankhara activity slow down. Otherwise, you cannot progress. What is progress? Dependent origination, the first two links. Avijja paccaya sankhara. What is avijja? Avijja is? Avijja is what? Ignorant. What is ignorant? Not understanding the truth, is it? So dependent on ignorance arise what? Sankhara. Sankhara is what? Mental activity means you think a lot, but you don't understand. Wanting to know, wanting to experience, you think. As long as this link is not weakened, you cannot be mindful in the midst of life. You understand? That's why you need to straighten your view. First is through pariyatti, understanding the teaching, so that you know what is memory, what are the psychological memory, what are the things that you accumulate that cause you to have this heedless thinking. Then the essential Dhamma, because you lack the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance keep on stirring. That's why Sankhara continuously arise. So what you're supposed to do in meditation is to train your mind to decondition the heedless thinking. So it means you have to work on the five spiritual faculty. When the spiritual faculty is there, the hindrance is gone. But that part most people cannot do, because sati, you cannot get it right. You can get sada virya, but sati, you cannot get it right. So sati, you need to work on it. That's why all the training, whether the mind sweeping method, anapana, is to train the daily mindfulness, the chanting, the bowing, is to train that mind, to anchor that mind. Then stabilize it until it's part of you, until you are ever mindful in the midst of life. That part you have not done. That's why you cannot understand. You have to do that. Then once that one is done, your views will all change. Where you can see things very clearly now. You can put the Dhamma to test. Dhamma Pada verse 1 and 2. Wait, really? So I have to avoid Dhamma Pada verse 1 and be heedful to follow Dhamma Pada verse 2. Then I have to arise a four right effort to purify. Otherwise, your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, continuously arise. That's why you have to right effort to abandon, prevent it from arising. When you are not mindful, you cannot prevent it from arising. It's only when you have understood what the evil roots are, what is greed, what is hatred, what is delusion, all this very clear. Then in the daily life, you can see that. Understand? Then you can develop the ability to abandon them. How to abandon? The five ways, the meditative way, the third and the fourth. Do it. Then your mind becomes different. Understand? Or? Then whenever anger arises, you understand anger is not you, but it's condition arise. So try it out. Go in and silence your mind and stay with the anger. Then when it ceases, you will understand. No wonder the Buddha said, anger is not me. Your anger is dependent originating. Then you have to trace the origin. How did you get angry? It's from your senses, from your memory. Then how to reverse it? You have to have the right view, see things as they are. What is the meaning? Accept them for what they are. And then the next time you see people whom you don't like, your mind doesn't stir anymore. Understand or not? This is how you straighten your view. So when you have less and less of this mental hindrance, your mind does not stir like before, so often, you become more and more calm, more and more peaceful, more and more clarity, less and less of this wrong thought, sankara. That's how you improve and progress. When your mindfulness progresses, your thought becomes less. Avijja paccaya sankara is weakened, attenuated. That's how you progress. Not by asking questions, understand or not? If I'm equally gullible like all those other teachers, oh, you have done well, then you become gullible. Understand or not? Then you sometimes quote that teacher. Hey, that teacher say, I got one jnana. I already done up to this level. Forget about all this rubbish, understand or not? Are you really living the life of a noble one with the Noble Eightfold Path factor? If you don't have any of this, means you are far away in your cultivation. You can't even maintain your right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood in the midst of life. You cannot develop the stability of mindfulness to cultivate the four foundations in the midst of life. You are nowhere near to enlightenment. Because without all this, your enlightenment factor cannot come about. This enlightenment factor, seven factor enlightenment, the main one, they will keep on arising if you already have it done correctly. If you are not mindful, sati, if you don't have that sati, the mindfulness, then you cannot investigate Dhamma. You understand? Then if you cannot investigate Dhamma, you cannot have virya to drive you. Because it doesn't stand up to investigation, you cannot know. But when you investigate the Dhamma and it stand up to investigate, you realize the Buddha's teaching is so beautiful, your virya arises. That's why from the spiritual faculty, the seven factor of enlightenment start, sati, then Dhamma vichaya. Then after that, your faith strengthened. Then virya comes. When there is virya, you continue to cultivate diligently, then piti arises. Then when piti arises, you continue to relax and silence, pasati will arise. Of course, you go through sukha. That pasati is the silent mind. That is the one you must develop. The stability of mind, the silent mind, the true mind. Then with pasati, you will experience tranquility, stillness, the true mind. Then when it's connected, your whole understanding becomes different. Then after that, you can stabilize that pasati until there is samadhi, until this mind is unmoving, collected, unwavering. So that in the daily life, in the midst of life, The moment of seeing, consciousness, seeing, hearing, tasting, smell, tactile, and thought process, whatever that arise through your sense or consciousness, this samadhi will prevent it from stirring, reacting. That's why it can stay there and observe, sitting as they are, the reality for what it is. Then no word. Then it just understand. Then one day when you are stable and when you have reflected, contemplated, and now your stability or second turning is there, it will awaken. Then you suddenly will insight in the phenomenon. Then the universal characteristic like suddenly very clear to you. Everything in this condition world, every phenomenon, may it physical, mental, or nature's phenomenon, they exhibit this type of universal characteristic. Then you start to see everywhere is like that. Everything is like that, within and without. That's how you awaken. Otherwise you cannot. So this type of understanding is very important. Then from that understanding, work on it. Just do, don't try to know. Okay? Yeah. Because this thing is not only for you, for everybody. Especially those who have not yet developed the stability of daily mindfulness. This way is not difficult if you give it a try. But it demands a lot of hard work. Means diligence, faith, perseverance. Don't be afraid of failure. Failure is very common. Everybody also starts from somewhere. You look at Thomas Edison. How did he discover electricity? He failed almost a few thousand times. He tried everything, every time failed. Then finally he hit it right. Yeah, he was waiting for the lightning to strike. Then he realized that flash is actually electricity. Then he discovered electricity. You think easy to discover electricity? Huh? How many of you are science students? Nobody science student. Cannot be. Yeah, you are science student. Now I ask you, let's say you don't have the textbook, the physics book and all that. I ask you to go by first principle. How do you know there is such thing as electricity? To generate electricity also you don't know, because this thing is not known before Thomas Edison. And I tell you, it's not easy to discover electricity, you know. That's why you need people with inquiry mind. Where he saw the lightning. He saw the light flash through. Then he know it went down somewhere. That's why he tried. Then he became successful. Then he realized electricity can be generated. The magnetic field and all those things, how it creates the generator to generate. Then how through the battery you can create electricity and all that. This is science, understand? So spiritual cultivation is the same. When you inquire, when you develop the mind that has this ability to be aware, it can understand many things. That's why those with a spiritual understanding, they can actually progress further, way, way beyond. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very, very extensive. What you have learned is just a handful, understand or not? Enough for normal enlightenment. That they, who was the one who asked me about the handful only? Huh? Song, very good. That's why the handful only is just the essential Dhamma to awaken the normal living being, to awaken to the sainthood way, to realize arahantship. But beyond the handful is the Bodhisattva way and the perfection of cultivation to realize Sammasambuddhahood. That's why those are the trees in the forest. And the handful is very easy, not that difficult. But the other way, although very extensive and very comprehensive, looks very difficult, but not difficult too. When you understand, the vow will take you along. Your affinity with the great being, their vow will take you along. You only need to have sincerity, faith, and perseverance. Then everything flows. That's why I say, don't try to know, do. Then initially plant the seed of Bohi, determine strongly to have that understanding, to have the Bohi mind, so that this one, when it is strongly planted, it will take deep root. Then every life you arrive because of this vow, the first stage of Bohi mind development, it will recall all of your vows, all of your whatever right view aspiration that you make. Then every life you come, whether you got sasana, no sasana, this understanding is there. This is what you need to do this life so that you won't miss this window. Then all of your future life taken care of. And you are so lucky to have this teaching. That's why if you allow this to slip by, I tell you, you have to wait very, very long, like our opening verse. For 500 million eons, you may not come across this true teaching. It's not easy. Okay? I think we have to end early today because supposed to have a dinner. So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness. Then we shall now share and delegate this merit to all beings, starting with the devas. Atta satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idam menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idam menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idam menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ikmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha and all the worthy ones. Today one is very good. Today's sharing is very useful, very important. If somebody can transcribe it, it will be very good. This one, if you can really do it out into a transcript, then we will print the book. Today one is very complete. It's like the final summary of our sharing of the Six Virya Platform Sutta, because it's towards the end already. No, this one do first. Do this one first. Today one is very important. Today one is meant to be. Everything came out. Even your last question is also very useful, because without your last question, a lot of people will be trapped. Because to transcribe all is very long, especially now our Huh? No, no. Today one is the most important. Today one summarize everything. Okay. Thank you. Sadhu.
Never mind.